Thank you for standing by. Good day, and welcome to the Pebblebrook Hotel Trust fourth quarter and year-end 2012 earnings call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to the Chief Financial Officer, Ray Martz. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Matt. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our fourth quarter 2012 earnings call and webcast. Joining me today is Jon Bortz, our Chairman and Chief Executive Officer. Before we start, let me remind everyone that many of our comments today are considered forward-looking statements under federal securities laws. These statements are subject to numerous risks and uncertainties as described in our 10-K for 2012 that we filed last night and our other SEC filings and could cause future results to differ materially from those expressed in or implied by our comments. Forward-looking statements that we make today are effective only as of today, February 22nd, 2013, and we undertake no duty to update them later. You can find our SEC reports and our earnings release, which contains reconciliations of non-GAAP financial measures we use, on our website at pebblebrookhotels.com. Okay, we had another solid quarter to complete another fantastic year for our company. Our fourth quarter RevPAR growth of 5.8% was above our outlook for RevPAR growth of 2.5% that we provided following Superstorm Sandy in mid-November, as leisure transient demand was strong and corporate transient demand held up better than expected in the face of the fiscal cliff uncertainties at the end of last year. We underperformed the U.S. industry's RevPAR growth of 6.5% in the quarter. This was primarily due to the negative impact from Superstorm Sandy, which we estimated at about 150 basis points of lost RevPAR, with much of it in our Northeast hotels. In New York City, though we were fortunate that none of our hotels were directly impacted by the storm, two of our hotels in New York City lost power due to the storm, and the market suffered further from the cancellation of the New York Marathon. While the New York market experienced additional demand following the storm for post-storm evaluations and rebuilding, our hotels were unable to capitalize due to their already high levels of occupancy. In both 2011's fourth quarter and 2012's fourth quarter, our six hotels that make up the Manhattan Collection ran almost 93% combined. For the balance of our portfolio, we produced a very healthy fourth quarter RevPAR growth of 7.1%, benefiting particularly from our West Coast properties. And for our portfolio on a monthly basis, October RevPAR increased 6.7%, November was up 4.3%, and December climbed 6.1%. As a reminder, our RevPAR and hotel EBITDA results are pro forma for our period of ownership and include all the hotels we own as of December 31st, except for Hotel Zetta, formerly Hotel Milano, since it was closed. Our results reflect 49% of the performance of the Manhattan Collection, mirroring our joint venture ownership percentage. RevPAR growth in quarter was led by Argonaut San Francisco, Mondrian LA, the Intercontinental Buckhead, the Grand Minneapolis, and W. Westwood. During the fourth quarter, we invested approximately $15.6 million in our hotels as part of our capital reinvestment program, with the largest portion related to the comprehensive renovation and repositioning of Hotel Milano, which reopened last night as Hotel Zetta. In addition to the major work we've done at Hotel Zetta, last month we also kicked off the comprehensive renovation and 41-room addition at the Finney of 50, which is scheduled to be substantially complete by the fourth quarter of this year. For the portfolio, food and beverage revenues were largely flat in the quarters compared to last year, primarily due to declines in a number of our hotels, with corporate spending generally a little more cautious than prior quarters. Offsetting some of the weaknesses in food and beverage revenues in the quarter was a 23.6% improvement at the National, which is part of the Benjamin Hotel in New York. Our food and beverage team has continued to take positive steps to increase overall revenues, including the banquet and catering business, so we applaud their success in a very competitive Manhattan market. For the year, the National's total revenues, including banquet and catering, increased $2.5 million, or 32%, compared to 2011. Now, moving down our income statement, we generated adjusted EBITDA of $31.9 million for the quarter, an increase of $3.8 million, or 13% versus 2011's fourth quarter. For 2012, adjusted EBITDA was up 43.9%, or $34.8 million, versus the prior year. Again, this not only reflects an increased number of high-quality hotels in our growing portfolio, but also the elevated growth rate in same-store EBITDA of our existing hotels, which we believe will continue during the next several years. For the year, our RevPAR was up a strong 8.1%, which was driven by a 4.2% increase in occupancy, with ADR growth at 3.8%. We're very pleased with this level of growth, which was delivered despite all the negative renovation impact we experienced throughout the year at many of our hotels, which adversely impacted our results approximately 80 basis points, as well as Superstorm Sandy, which impacted our results by approximately 60 basis points. Our RevPAR leaders for 2012 were Sir Francis Drake, the Grand Hotel Minneapolis, Athenaeum Manhattan, the Intercontinental Buckhead, and Argonaut San Francisco. All of these hotels continue to increase their market penetration and operating performance following recently completed property renovations and refurbishments. Our hotels generated $126.6 million of pro forma hotel EBITDA for the year, with pro forma EBITDA margins improving 263 basis points to 27.4%. Total hotel revenues grew 6.2%, while total hotel expenses were limited to a 2.5% increase. The hotels that generated the highest EBITDA growth rate for 2012 were Sir Francis Drake, Athenaeum Manhattan, Viceroy Miami, the Benjamin, and the Grand Hotel Minneapolis. Shifting to the acquisition side of our business, on October 25th, we announced the acquisition of the 196-room Hotel Palomar San Francisco for $58 million. And on January 29th, 2013, we acquired the 337-room Embassy Suites San Diego Bay in downtown San Diego for $112.5 million. In conjunction with the acquisition of the Embassy Suites San Diego, we appointed HEI Hotels and Resorts to be the hotel manager. Additionally, we anticipate investing approximately $7 million into the hotel over the next 2 years. The anticipated impact of this year's property refurbishment has been reflected in our 2013 outlook. We're extremely excited about our most recent acquisition in downtown San Diego. We love downtown San Diego and believe it's one of the most reliable growers of all of our target markets. San Diego benefits from having the most consistently favorable and predictable weather in the United States, and that weather, along with the city's strong amenity base, extremely attractive convention venue, convenient and close airport, and innumerable cultural, recreational, and entertainment activities, make San Diego one of the strongest leisure and convention destinations in the country. The hotel also benefits significantly from its terrific location in downtown San Diego and from the strength of the Embassy Suites brand, which delivers a uniquely powerful value proposition through its all-suite format and free breakfast and free manager's happy hour. The hotel is a leader in the market and has been consistently number one in RevPAR in its competitive set and number two in 2012 in ADR. Its competitive set includes the Hilton Gaslamp, Marriott Marquis & Marina, Grand Hyatt Manchester, Westin San Diego, and our Westin Gaslamp. We believe the joint efforts of our asset management team and the property's new operator, HEI Hotels & Resorts, will deliver a significant upside to both the top line and the bottom line through the implementation of best practices from both of our organizations. As part of the San Diego acquisition, we assumed a $66.8 million non-recourse loan, which is a current fixed interest rate of 6.275% and matures in June 2016. Now, I'd like to touch upon our debt activities in the fourth quarter. On December 27th, we completed an $81 million 7-year fixed rate loan at 3.69%, which was secured by our Westin Gaslamp Quarter Hotel. Also on December 27th, which was a busy day for us, we successfully refinanced the maturing debt secured by the Manhattan Collection with a new $410 million 5-year fixed rate loan at 3.67%. This loan was secured by 5 of the 6 hotels in the collection. Also as part of this financing, Pebblebrook contributed $50 million in the form of a preferred capital investment to the partnership, which yields 9.75%. This preferred capital can be repaid at any time by the joint venture partnership. 51% of this preferred dividend payment, which is the percentage that we don't own in the partnership, will be reflected in the interest income line item in our income statements. As a result of our capital market activities and operating activities during the quarter, at the end of 2012, we held cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash of $97.9 million, plus an additional $16.3 million in our unconsolidated cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash from our 49% pro rata interest in the Manhattan Collection. We had no outstanding balance in our $200 million unsecured credit facility. And finally, an update on our dividend. As you read in our earnings release from yesterday, because of the continued increases in the operating performance and cash flow of our portfolio, as well as the positive fundamentals for 2013, we anticipate increasing our quarterly dividend to 16 cents per share, which represents an increase of 33% from our current quarterly dividend. We expect this to commence with our first quarter dividend, which we typically announce in mid-March. This is consistent with our long-term strategy, providing industry-leading returns to our shareholders, including a reliable and growing stream of income. And with that good news, I'd now like to turn the call over to John to provide more insight on the recently completed quarter and year, as well as our outlook for 2013. John?
Thanks, Ray, and good morning. So, as Ray said, we had a dynamite third year as a public company. In 2012, we made $275 million of new investments through the acquisition of five hotels, all of them on the West Coast. Four of them, four diamond quality hotels in four different gateway cities, including San Francisco, West LA, Portland, and Seattle. And the fifth was the Hotel Milano in San Francisco, which soft opened last night as the renamed Hotel Zeta, following our complete renovation and repositioning of the property as a very cool four diamond boutique hotel. Including the Zeta's renovation, we invested almost $60 million in the portfolio during the year, completing significant renovations at Argonaut San Francisco, Westin Gaslamp in San Diego, Monaco Seattle, Mondrian LA, Sheraton Delfina, and the second phase of Affinia Manhattan's renovation. And thanks to a trusting and supportive investment community, we were able to raise $215 million of equity to support our efforts. We're extremely pleased with the portfolio that we've been able to assemble, not just because of the high quality of the assets, and not just because of the attractive pricing, and not just because of their terrific locations in major gateway cities, but because the portfolio has so much operational upside that we believe will continue to drive outsized growth for the next several years. And importantly, we generally didn't underwrite or pay for this upside potential at the time of the acquisitions. The portfolio has already begun to benefit from the vast array of best practices and operational efficiencies that we've been able to put in place, as evidenced by the 263 basis point increase in 2012 portfolio EBITDA margin on top of 2011's 318 basis point improvement. In the fourth quarter, as expected, EBITDA margin growth was more muted than prior quarters due to more modest RevPAR and overall revenue growth, as well as the difficult comparison to 2011's fourth quarter EBITDA margin growth of 562 basis points. As a result, same-store EBITDA rose a modest 5.3% in the fourth quarter, but it increased a very strong 17.4% for the year. The better performance versus our outlook in the fourth quarter was primarily due to demand growth holding up better than what we expected, given the looming fiscal cliff and overall economic uncertainties. As a result, higher RevPAR in the fourth quarter and margin growth in the range of our expectations delivered better than expected EBITDA growth in the portfolio. A couple of standout EBITDA growth performers for the year worth mentioning. Sir Francis Drake's EBITDA increased 68%. Affinia Manhattan's EBITDA climbed 56%. Viceroy Miami drove EBITDA up 56%. The Benjamin grew EBITDA by 42%. The Grand Minneapolis, 41%. W Boston, 32%. And Argonaut San Francisco, 30%. And despite the great EBITDA and EBITDA margin performance of these properties, our EBITDA and margin increases weren't driven by just these. In total, 15 properties grew EBITDA margin by more than 150 basis points for the year, and 14 grew EBITDA for the year more than 10%, a pretty terrific achievement by our asset managers and our operators, and one certainly we applaud. A big part of this was our joint efforts to limit growth in same-store hotel expenses to just 2.5%, despite occupancy increasing by 4.2% and occupied rooms increasing by 5%, given 29 more rooms in the portfolio and one more day in 2012 due to leap year. Key category contributors to our success on expenses: undistributed expenses were limited to a 0.3% increase. with A&G declining 2% and energy declining by 11.5%, or almost $1.7 million. And despite a 12.6% increase in property taxes due primarily to our California acquisitions, fixed expenses grew just 0.3% with the aid of an 11.3% decline in insurance costs and declines in other fixed expenses. Many of our hotels prior to acquisition also suffered from significant deferred capital maintenance or lack of owner attention due to capital constraints, bankruptcy, receivership, or foreclosure. As a result, they significantly underperformed from a competitive perspective in prior years. With the implementation of renovation, repositioning, and refurbishment programs at the majority of our hotels, we've begun to recapture some of that lost competitive RevPAR penetration. As a portfolio, we recaptured approximately 140 basis points of RevPAR penetration in 2012, despite disruptions during the year from numerous renovations. Yet we believe we still have several hundred points of additional RevPAR penetration in total to recapture through 2015. That means we expect to continue to outperform the competitors in our markets, as well as the industry overall, each year through at least 2015. I'd like to highlight a few examples of the increased penetration we achieved in 2012 at properties where we previously completed renovations. At the Sir Francis Drake, where our renovation encompassed a complete redo of all of the guest rooms, the entrance, lobby and bar, and a full renovation and repositioning of the Starlight Lounge on the top floor, the hotel picked up over 550 basis points of RevPAR penetration on a year-over-year basis. DoubleTree Bethesda, over 700 basis points. Intercontinental Buckhead, almost 1,000 basis points. The Grand Hotel Minneapolis, almost 1,300 basis points. Affinia Manhattan, 1,250 basis points. And Westin Gaslamp, despite being under renovation the first half of 2012, still managed to pick up over 300 basis points for the year. As these numbers demonstrate, our renovations have been extremely well received by the market. And with the completion of our renovations at virtually all of our properties, either previously or by this spring, we're confident that between margin growth opportunities and RevPAR penetration recapture, we should be able to generate significant outsized growth in the existing portfolio through at least 2015. In addition, while the redevelopment, renovation, and addition of rooms at Affinia 50 in New York City will depress our expected outperformance in 2013, by roughly 100 basis points of RevPAR growth and 60 to 70 basis points of EBITDA margin growth, its completion later this year will meaningfully and positively impact 2014 and beyond. And the addition of the Embassy Suites in downtown San Diego and the reopening of Hotel Zeta in San Francisco should also add to our overall growth rate going forward. The strength of our portfolio in 2012 and expected industry outperformance in 2013 and beyond is also partly due to the high occupancy levels of most of the cities in which our hotels are located. In 2012, most of our markets again grew occupancies, with the majority now with occupancies surpassing last cycle's prior peak levels. This includes the urban or CBD markets of San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Miami, West Hollywood, Boston, Santa Monica, Seattle, and New York City's Lower Manhattan, as well as the Manhattan market overall, which surpassed prior peak occupancy in December at an astounding 86% for 2012. Our urban markets that are nearing last cycle's peak occupancies include Philadelphia, San Diego, Portland, Minneapolis, and New York City's uptown-midtown market. Most of these markets, except for New York City, have either very little or no supply underway, and be expected to continue to strengthen through at least 2014 or 2015. Occupancies at these levels have historically provided firm footing for significant price increases, reduced discounting and promotions, and strong ADR growth. But while the industry's ADR growth rate continues to increase at a modest pace of improvement, it was up 4.3% in 2012 versus an increase of 3.7% in 2011. We believe otherwise stronger growth in ADR is being held back by the uncertainty in the economy and in fiscal policy, and once that uncertainty is significantly reduced or eliminated, we believe there is significant potential for an acceleration in the growth of average daily rates. With limited new supply growth expected in 2013, we expect it to be around 1%, and continuing sub-average growth expected in 2014, we're forecasting industry occupancies to continue to grow in 2013 and 2014 as demand growth is expected to outpace new supply. So overall, industry fundamentals remain very strong. And when we look at last year's overall industry trends, performance was driven by strength in transient travel, both business and leisure, as well as very strong growth in international inbound travel, the vast majority of which has been positively impacting our major gateway cities. Recovery in group travel has been more modest, so there is more to go in 2013 and beyond. We believe we're unlikely to see an acceleration in the recovery in group business until the pace of employment growth increases or until we reach significantly lower rates of unemployment, when competition for people typically picks up meaningfully. I think what went somewhat unnoticed in 2012 was the continuing strength of the recovery in leisure travel, particularly in the last 9 months of the year. With this haves and have-nots economy that we've been living with over the last 2 years, the leisure customer has shown significant confidence in their economic well-being, as evidenced by strong weekend demand and RevPAR growth. In fact, leisure demand growth, as represented by weekends, outgrew business demand growth as represented by weekdays in all but 2 months from April 2012 through the rest of the year. And despite general concerns about the potential negative effects of our country's fiscal issues, we think it's likely these favorable trends in leisure travel will continue in 2013, along with healthy growth in business travel and continuing strength in travel from overseas. For 2013, we're forecasting industry demand growth of 2 to 3%, supply growth of around 1%, ADR growth of 4 to 5%, and industry RevPAR growth of 4.5 to 6.5%. Despite headwinds from European economic weakness and significant fiscal uncertainty here, corporate profits in the U.S. continue to be strong, with forecasts that they'll again set new records in 2013. And employment growth, while subpar compared to prior economic recoveries, has shown more recent signs of an improving pace of pickup. Both consumer confidence and business confidence have also been improving recently. So all of these seem to bode well for at least a modest year of demand growth in 2013. And at Pebblebrook, we expect to outperform the industry by roughly 50 basis points, with our more typical 100 to 200 basis point outperformance depressed in 2013 by Affinia 50's 100 basis point negative impact on our overall RevPAR growth. The industry is already off to a great start in January, with industry RevPAR climbing 8.8% in the U.S. Our portfolio in January also got off to a great start. RevPAR climbed a strong 12.7%. Our performance was aided by the inauguration in Washington, even though it was disappointing compared to the last inauguration. We estimate that D.C. added about 180 basis points to January's numbers, with the D.C. Monaco's RevPAR climbing by 53% and double Tree Bethesda benefiting less so, with RevPAR growing 20%. For the portfolio, we expect first quarter RevPAR to increase between 6 and 7.5%, with February and March being significantly impacted by the Affinia 50 renovation and the Sofitel rooms renovation. Please keep in mind that there is one less day in the quarter and the year, so room revenue growth will not keep pace with RevPAR growth, both in the quarter and for the year. We're forecasting total revenue growth on a comparable hotel basis of 5 to 7% in 2016. Combining that with EBITDA margin growth of 75 to 125 basis points, we're forecasting to deliver a comparable hotel EBITDA increase of a very healthy 7.1 to 10.5% for the existing portfolio, even after the significant negative impact of the Affinia 50 renovation. Business trends and business on our books support our forecast of healthy growth for 2013. As of the end of January, total group and transient revenue on the books for the year was up 6.1% over same time last year for 2012. Portfolio-wide, group revenues are up 2.4%, with room nights down 0.1% and group ADR up 2.5%. Transient room nights on the books were up 5.5%, with transient rate up 3.9% and total transient revenues on the books by up 9.6%. Group bookings continue to be very short-term in nature, as corporations in particular wait to the last minute to book their meetings and banquets. And as an indication of how short-term our group bookings have been, we only need look at the fourth quarter. We went into the quarter with group revenues at minus 0.7% based on room nights down 2.4% and rate up 1.7%. We finished the quarter with group revenues up 4.5%, with room nights up 1.7% and rate up 2.8%. So that's a lot of in the quarter for the corner bookings. We don't expect this behavior to change until either the economy accelerates due to less uncertainty, or overall demand rises to a level that begins to preclude last-minute bookings due to lack of availability. Fortunately for our portfolio, our group room nights only account for about 25% of our total business, so it's less of an issue for planning purposes than otherwise might be the case with a greater level of group business. We thought it also might be helpful to summarize how our portfolio breaks down geographically based upon our acquisitions in 2012 and our most recent acquisition in San Diego just last month. Based on our outlook for 2013, roughly 54% of our EBITDA is forecasted to come from the West Coast, and 43% is expected to be delivered by our East Coast hotels. The largest markets are forecasted to break down roughly as follows: New York, 17%, West LA, 17%, San Francisco, 16%, and San Diego, 11%. Every other market is less than 9% of EBITDA. As a result, we feel like we have pretty good diversification through our 12 different major city markets. We continue to be very excited about the strong underlying fundamentals of the hotel industry, and even more excited about the incredible and unique opportunity for further upside from our existing portfolio. And while we expect to be as active this year as last year on the acquisition front, a significant majority of the value we expect to create through this cycle is likely to come from the existing portfolio. So asset management of our portfolio will continue to be the primary focus of our entire team here at Pebblebrook, and the reason for the song selection that you heard while waiting for our conference call to begin. With that, we'd now be happy to answer whatever questions you may have. Operator?
Thank you, sir. If you would like to signal for a question at this time on the phone, please press the star key followed by the digit 1. Please be sure that your mute function is off to allow that signal to reach our equipment. Again, it is star 1 to signal. And we'll take our first question from David Loeb with Baird.
Good morning. John, on that last theme, can you talk a little bit more about the margin outlook? I want to just make sure I heard you right about the impact of the Affinia 50 on margin, and how much more room do you think you have in terms of asset management initiatives to improve margins going forward?
Yeah, thanks, David. Yes, you heard correctly that the Affinia 50 has between a 60 and 70 basis point impact on our margins with, I think, what is something like a 30% or 35% negative impact on RevPAR growth at the hotel. So we do have a lower overall revenue growth this year than last year, partly because of the impact from Affinia 50, and partly because our outlook for the industry is a little bit more modest than what our outlook was for last year. However, I don't think that's a change in the second derivative. I think right now we'd expect to see an acceleration in both our RevPAR growth and a significant acceleration in our EBITDA margin growth in 2014, given the fact that we have very little major renovation work planned for next year with the existing portfolio, and given that the portfolio will benefit from the opposite of the negative impact from the Affinia 50, it'll both be completely renovated as well as will benefit from having an additional 41 keys at the hotel. So we think there's a lot more upside in the portfolio. I think if we compare our existing margins with LaSalle's existing margins for 2012, I think we're looking at somewhere between 500 and 600 basis points of differential. So we still think there's, you know, at least several hundred basis points of margin improvement in the portfolio, and we're really just beginning to see the benefit for the properties that were renovated in 2011 and those that were acquired in 2011 and 2012. So a lot of upside from margin growth over the next 3 years.
Great, that's very helpful. Can I ask you one more?
Please.
What's your view on how long the acquisition window will stay open?
Wow, good question. You know, a lot of it depends upon what we see in the development market. Obviously, being impacted by both continuing improvement and whatever the pace of improvement in bottom lines is in the industry. So, a lot of it has to do with, you know, how much closer we get to the economics warranting new development in most of the markets. We think in most markets we're still a ways away, although we all know that doesn't necessarily guarantee that new development won't happen. And, of course, we're seeing that in markets like Chicago and Nashville and Austin today, and perhaps even some in New York in terms of it not necessarily making good economic sense. But some of it has to do with, obviously, the capital markets, and we all know there's a lot of capital available globally with the Fed providing its QE Infinity program. And that hasn't generally made its way into the construction lending environment for hotels, but it is only a matter of time. Now, the good news is, you know, as we look at supply for our markets, you know, today in the urban markets, David, if you don't have a shovel in the ground today, you're not delivering probably until 2015 at the earliest. And so as we work our way through the year with actually fairly reasonable visibility on what we expect will start later this year, it looks like a pretty benign environment through 2015 for most of the major markets, and that would exclude the ones I mentioned, as well as New York. So we take a lot of positive thoughts from that. And so from an acquisition perspective, I think we've got probably at least another 12 to 24 months, maybe 18 months, where we think it'll continue to be a pretty attractive overall as we look at being able to buy at, you know, meaningful discounts to replacement cost.
Great. Thank you very much.
We'll go next to James Milan with Sandler O'Neill.
Hey, good morning, guys. John, I just wanted to follow up, just kind of bigger picture on your discussion about group business. And I guess I'm curious if you would give us your comments on how you think about the group cycle right now and whether, you know, obviously corporate profits are high, but some of that is expense control. So how do you think the group cycle, do you think that there's a secular shift in the way groups are spending their money, or do you think that it's just a longer cycle and as, you know, profitability and employment and everything else improves, you know, that will recover back to, you know, what it has been historically?
I think, James, on a, you know, U.S. industry basis, I think that it's really a cyclical impact that we've been seeing, and it really relates to, we believe, slower growth in employment. We think a lot of groups, whether it's the rah-rah meetings, the culture meetings, the incentive travel, we think those don't pick up until there's significant competition for people. I think companies are pretty smart with the way they spend their dollars. Those meetings are generally necessary when they're worried about losing their people. And until that happens, I think, you know, companies save the money. As you've said, companies are pretty good at cost controls. And I think those kinds of meetings often fall in the category of discretionary meetings until there's a human resources benefit. I do think there's probably a little bit of a secular change, at least for this cycle, in perhaps the utilization of resorts on a group basis, at least on the part of some, certainly a large enough percentage of overall corporate users and governmental users, to have a sort of material and noticeable impact on the recovery in group at resort properties. So our view on resorts right now is they're just not likely in this cycle to recover a group to the same level that they were at previously. And that's probably why our bias has been more towards the urban markets and the urban hotels, even though resorts, particularly drive-to resorts, have been within our target type of assets.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. And then just a quick one. I think you guys were gave some pretty good color around the margin growth being a little slower in 13 versus 14. But will you just talk about some of the, you know, obviously insurance was good in 2012, but maybe insurance and tax outlook for 13 and maybe even into 14 to the extent that you have any visibility that far out?
Yeah. Go ahead.
First, on the property insurance, you know, right now the visibility we have is maybe some expectations in 2013. You know, it remains to be seen what the impact from Superstorm Sandy will have on the market, and what carriers are in or not. We would think something in the, you know, mid single digit to high single digit would probably be a reasonable expectation of growth rate. With a reminder that as we acquire, make new acquisitions, many of these acquisitions we fold into the Pebblebrook insurance program, we typically have pretty good savings there versus what the prior folks were paying. So right now it's really that mid to high single digit numbers, probably a reasonable expectation for 2013 for property insurance. Beyond that, it's hard to say. We don't want to speculate. And that happens really kind of mid to early spring, we start that process for most of our portfolio in the Manhattan collections on a different cycle. But on the property taxes.
Right. The P&C for the bulk of the portfolio is on a June cycle, and the Manhattan collection, I think, is September.
Yeah, later in the year in the third quarter. And on property taxes, well, we'll know what California is because we're largely mandated by that based on the purchase price. And it's really city by city we look at those increases. Now, cities are being more aggressive on those increases because they need to, you know, fund their budgets, and it's easy to attack their commercial owners. And we evaluate each on a case-by-case basis, and we regularly contest all these increases if we believe it's above or really above market. But that for the year, you know, whereas the property insurance and insurance side is you know, kind of mid to upper single digits. Property taxes for the year should you're looking at the 9 to 11% increase for a year-to-year basis.
And keep in mind, a lot of that has to do with the fact that we bought a number of California properties last year, and we're seeing the automatic increases in those in the portfolio.
Great. That's helpful. Thank you, guys.
We go next to Wes Golladay with RBC Capital Markets.
Hey, good morning, guys. Going back to the in-the-quarter group bookings, are you seeing any of the markets where this behavior has to change? We heard that some of the West Coast hotel operators were allocating more rooms to leisure, and some of the groups were having a hard time booking rooms.
Yeah, I think on the West Coast, we're likely to see some change in behavior, but I would say we haven't seen it yet. And, you know, part of that is the first quarter, particularly in a market like San Francisco, tends to be a softer quarter. So there's still plenty of availability in hotels in San Francisco in the quarter. Some of that also might be rooms-only business, you know, what you do or don't take from the convention authority. And of course, that would probably lead to better advanced bookings because most of that gets booked well ahead of time.
Okay, and now turning to your acquisition pipeline, what are you guys seeing there as far as the type of deal? I mean, you guys had some nice deals with the Zeta and the Sir Francis Drake where you nearly doubled the yield within 2 years. Are you seeing any more opportunities like that, or is it going to be more core?
No, we're you know, our focus continues to be buying properties that need to be fixed, where there's an opportunity, a significant opportunity to create value, either through significant change in operations or because properties have been starved from a physical perspective and need capital in order to alleviate the sort of downward competitive spiral that they're suffering from. So, you know, we continue to be more highly focused on those, Wes, and I suspect, you know, while the Embassy Suites, I would say, even with the $7 million we've allocated or underwritten towards improvements, a bunch of that certainly is deferred capital maintenance. The real opportunity there is the change in the way the property is being operated, both at the top line and the bottom line, and we think there's very significant margin opportunity at that property. So we'll continue to focus on the more substantial turnarounds. Hopefully it doesn't mean buying stuff at a 2-cap like what the Sir Francis Drake was when we originally bought it, because I think the markets have recovered, you know, for over the last 3 years. But I wouldn't be surprised to see us buy an asset that has a sort of sub-6 or lower cap rate because the property is in dire need of capital and probably a change in management or flag.
Okay, thanks, guys, for taking the questions.
We'll go next to Rich Hightower with ISI Group.
Hey, good morning, guys. A couple questions, one broad and one a little more specific. I think this is a follow-up to one of Wes's questions, but, you know, depending on the company during this earnings season, you know, you've had different answers as far as what the effect on demand is going to be, you know, related to the upcoming sequester in Washington and so forth. And I'm wondering, in your portfolio, is there a difference between that effect on the West Coast versus the East Coast, given different demand drivers for those markets, and any other softness that you're seeing, perhaps?
Yeah, first, we're not seeing any softness. So there's been no impact from all of the to-do about the sequester. We believed, begin to see back last year in August running through October, you know, hesitation on the part of businesses to travel as much or meet as much due to the uncertainty surrounding the entire fiscal cliff. But with the solution related to the biggest piece of that, that would have an impact on this year being the tax agreement that was made. We think, in general, whatever happens with either the sequester or the alternative reductions in spending or tax increases that might take effect in 13 to be pretty modest, which is what economists are forecasting. Now, it'll have a different impact by market, clearly, and one would expect, naturally, that the impact in D.C. would be more material, given both the heavy concentration of government agencies and government in the overall market, both including downtown as well as the suburban markets, but also because of the heavy concentration of those that do business with the government, particularly the defense industry, that is slated for some meaningful reductions. So we think the biggest impact, if there is one, on a national basis is likely to be more limited to the D.C. market, and frankly, we don't expect to see much impact anywhere else in the U.S.
Okay, so maybe you're not seeing as much in terms of group demand, for instance, in other markets beyond D.C. That's what it sounds like.
Well, we're not seeing any impact anywhere yet from this more recent uncertainty.
Okay, well that's helpful. And then second question, more specifically, it looks like if I look at your pro forma hotel results for the fourth quarter, it looks like management fees ticked up about 14% from 4Q11 to 4Q12. Was that something related to incentive fees, or is there anything else that maybe brought that number up more than some other expenses?
Yeah, the biggest impact, actually, we have insignificant incentive fees in the whole portfolio, so it's not incentive fees. It has to do with a few of our properties that had a ramp up in management fees that we negotiated when we put new management agreements in place, which was generally justified by the displacement and negative impact the properties were going to be going through as we did major renovations at them. So that's really what it relates to.
Okay, that's helpful, John. Thank you.
Again, as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. We'll go next to Lucas Hartwick with Green Street Advisors.
Thank you. Hey, guys. John, can you talk about some of the things you've done to drive the $14 million of efficiencies you cited in the press release?
Sure. Boy, it's a long list, and I'd also direct you, I think, do we still have our investor presentation up that we did a little over a year ago in New York, which has a lot of detail in it, Lucas, which has a number of case studies. But, you know, the modifications have to do with labor efficiencies. They have to do with housekeeping programs. They have to do with green programs. They have to do with energy capital investments within the portfolio. They have to do with buying things that we're renting, where in many cases there's, you know, a one-year payback. So if it has to do with insurance, as Ray said, a lot of efficiencies by bringing even the major operators and their insurance over to our program, where not only do we get savings, but we actually have better coverage and better written policies. So if you break that almost $14 million down by category, they fall into a little over $4 million in energy savings on an annual basis. F&B, about $3.5 million, has to do with a lot of purchasing programs. A lot of this is fundamental blocking and tackling, control programs, procedures, using staffing and labor efficiency models. Rooms, about $1.4 million. Insurance, about a little over $700,000. And then sort of a general category of other, which is a little over $4 million. So it really is very extensive, detail-oriented operational involvement and work with our operators that that involve the implementation of our best practices, and of course our best practices come from our operators. So that's generally what they would involve.
Great. That's very, very helpful. Thank you.
Sure.
And once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. We'll go to Bill Crow with Raymond James.
Hey, good morning, guys. John, the acquisition of the Embassy Suites is a little bit of a twist for you. I know you started the company with a goal of looking at limited service, select service sort of assets. Do you anticipate adding more of these? I know you're an opportunistic buyer, but is that something because of maybe the deals in the market, the pricing in the market, maybe you'll look more toward hotels such as that?
No, I don't really think of it as a change in strategy at all. It's an urban hotel. You made a comparison to select service, and hopefully the audience understands that Embassy Suites is a full service.
It's full service, but it's a rooms machine. It's not a heavy restaurant sort of property. It's a little different than what you typically have been buying.
Well, it certainly doesn't have the independent or unique design flair that our other hotels have. It does have a full service 3-meal-a-day restaurant in it that appeals to both the local clientele, the neighborhood clientele, as well as the convention ears, as well as our existing hotel guests. But I would say that the comparison would be, that hotel does extremely well as a value proposition, and maybe that's where people might disconnect it with the rest of the hotels in our portfolio, sort of the why it's successful. But its success, nevertheless, has to do with the fact that it's in an urban market that has incredible appeal as a leisure and convention destination. It has a great location in that market, and we think there's a tremendous upside in margins and in top line at the property. And really, the interesting thing about it, Bill, is, while the other hotels, in fact, all of the hotels in its set would be categorized by Smith Travel as a higher brand, it beats all of them in RevPAR and beats all but one of them in ADR.
It's a category killer. Embassy Suites has done great. Is that something you're going to look for going forward, or just continue your opportunistic pursuit of hotels?
I don't think it's something we haven't been looking for. It's just the first Embassy Suites that we've. But, as an example, we pursued the Embassy Suites in Philadelphia that LaSalle bought.
Yep.
So, we love the brand. You describe it appropriately as a category killer, and it, because of that, it's able to compete at a higher level than maybe what you might argue the physical product looks like. On the other hand, it is all suites, and none of those other properties in the market are.
Yep. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Bill.
We have no questions in queue at this time, but again, it is star 1 if you'd like to signal. And gentlemen, we have no other questions. I'd like to turn the call back to you for any additional or closing comments.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you all for participating. I know we're going to see a lot of you over the next month at various conferences, and so we look forward to further discussions then, and we look forward to our first update on 2013 when we have our earnings call in late April. Thanks very much again.
And again, that does conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation. Have a good day.